We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Jack Ramsey's After Dark. Danny Moran here following the Portland Trailblazers 129-125 win, wrapping up their long January homestand. Obviously beating the Atlanta Hawks tonight, who were without Trae Young. He was a late scratch. Yusuf Nurkic and Josh Hart both played after their short one-game absences. Fun game tonight. First of all, business stuff. Like, rate, view, subscribe, help us grow the show. Kind of get back to the grind just in time for the All-Star break and the trade deadline and then my my pending surgery. So just quick business stuff. I do have my MRI tomorrow if you're listening right now. I'm recording at basically midnight, Tuesday afternoon. I've got that. So if you're listening tomorrow to the radio show, I will only be there maybe for the first hour. And then hopefully I'll have a surgery date. So we'll have a better understanding of where the show will be for a little bit. I do have a couple videos on Nas and Jeremy that are done that I will probably pop out while I'm down for the count. But let's get into tonight's game. It's always a lot more fun to do these after a win. It's always a lot more fun when they're enjoyable games, 129-125. Just close enough to make you sweat. But not enough to really up the pucker factor. Although, like, if you're a real, real doomer, then you were probably super worried. My eyebrows definitely raised when Bogdanovich got fouled in the three. The Blazers, the post game, talked about that, both Chauncey and Dame. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good game. Before things got a little tight there in the end. Let's kind of go by the numbers real quick. First quarter, Portland outscores the Hawks 31-23. The Blazers came out and they came correct. Dame said in the post game that when asked about the slow start, why it was better tonight, one of the things that they really emphasized tonight, we needed to I had the quote up here 2 seconds ago. Technology, where did it go? I refreshed it. All right, it was addressed more than it was the past night before the game. It was, and this is where he's kind of quoting the quote, it was enough. Let's come out sharp and execute our coverage with energy. And we did that tonight. Dame on fixing kind of the slow starts and where they sat. And you could tell that there was a little bit of relief from the Blazers tonight in that vein. When they've been driving that home for so long. Chauncey came into the postgame press conference and you could tell frustrated by what he called some boneheaded fouls. And he was referring to Dame down the stretch. Unfortunately, Dame got a little too handsy and even he said, you know, I was reaching. I was doing stuff, things I shouldn't have done. The Blazers, one of the things they were really proud of is their floor game. You know, what they finished with... I want to say eight turnovers. Yeah, eight turnovers and 24 assists. 3-1 a turnover ratio. That'll get you done. That'll get you done. So, first quarter, Blazers come out assertive. I thought they did well enough defensively to alter some stuff. Dame came out aggressive again. Dame finished the night with another 40 piece. Interestingly enough, it was Grant's, I think, worst quarter of the night. I thought he was great the rest of the night. I was kind of worried. I was like, oh, it looked good. Ant looked good coming out right away. 5 assists in the first turn in the first quarter. And you could sense, and we talked to Ant post game about this. He's not shooting nearly as much as he has over the last couple weeks. The last 2 weeks, I think he has one game where he has 20, and I think almost every other game he's under 15, hovering around 12, 13, 14. And his assist totals are up, his turnovers are down, and his rebounding numbers are up slightly. The more all-around, slowed-down, applicable version of Ant has been there. And Chauncey and the other coaches, and Ant, to his credit, said that all the other coaches he's worked with besides Chauncey have really helped him over the last couple of games to settle in, keep things simple. I asked Ant about, you know, his workload and if you know, taking a little bit less offensive workload has allowed him to be better defensively. He said the big thing for him is just, he's just been more comfortable defensively. He's been really... impress isn't the right word. He's been proud of his effort and his intensity, his willingness to compete over the last couple games. Chauncey did not like Ant's effort defensively in the first quarter against the Raptors. I would imagine he didn't like anybody's effort or intensity in the first quarter against the Raptors. But the big thing there is, and I try to make sure that, you know, I'm kind of checking my bias with Ant, you know, into his new contract. I don't think I've ever said this publicly, but I kind of have an unwritten rule that I don't really grade guys or really hit on guys' inability to do something if they're in their rookie deal. Like, I'll call it out, but it's like, no, I think they've got time. They can figure something out. Once you get your real contract, you get your real money, that's when it starts, like, really getting home. And so I always try to maintain, like, my idea of where Ant's actually at. And I wanted to make sure I asked the coaches and Dame and other folks tonight, like, hey, you know, are you seeing the same things that I am? And, yeah, it was a resounding yes across the board. It's been fun to watch Ant the last couple, last 5-6 games do stuff outside of just being a very good shooter and a very good scorer. I want to say the other night he ran 18 pick and rolls and had like a 170 offensive rating. I think Corey Jez had that one. He was just very good on multiple levels. And it's we all know he can shoot. We all know he can score. Seeing him do the other stuff and doing it regularly with consistency without mucking it up, that's good to see. It's good to see. So it's a long roundabout way of saying Ant had a good first quarter. 2 of 3, 5 assists, 5 points. Clean floor game again. No turnovers. Blazers get out of the first quarter with 1 turnover. They just shot the hell out of the ball. 12 of 22, 5 of 10 from 3. What ended up being a theme tonight was the rebounding, and that was actually the one quarter, I believe, that the Blazers won the rebounding battle. Second quarter, the Hawks really got going, and it wasn't on points in the paint necessarily, as the Hawks had 14, the Blazers had 14. It was on second chance points. The Hawks had 11 second chance points, 15 points in their bench. There's only 3 total turnovers in the period. The Hawks out-rebounded the Blazers 17-5 in the period. Gotta say, having Jusuf Nurkić on the floor for almost 8 minutes of the second quarter, and the fact that he did not register a rebound, while the Hawks had 9 offensive rebounds in the period, that's how you stay in the game. Hawks take 27 shots in the period to the Blazers 21, which is insane to think about when there's three total turnovers. That's nuts. Clint Capella was whooping that ass. He had 6 rebounds in the period, 6 of them offensive. Now, 2 of them were off his own putback misses. The last question of the night for Dame tonight, I asked him, look, you guys got on track, you get a win, you're not going to give that up kind of a situation, but yes, you played a good floor game, yes, you took care of the turnovers, but you still gave up 125. And Dame's answer in that was basically, we got a lot of stuff to clean up. Like I 100% agree with what he said next, which was, I thought our compete level was there. I thought our effort level was there. I thought we were doing things like we were being disruptive and being in the right place and on a string and making right plays, but we weren't finishing plays. You can play 23 seconds of good defense. If you don't grab a rebound, it doesn't matter. And they struggled with that tonight. They got the crap kicked out of them on the glass. They got the crap kicked out of them on the glass. It was not close. You look at that kind of thing, and I think it's easy to say, hey, they'll get that one squared away. Because they haven't gotten murdered on the glass like that all too often. They're not a great rebounding team, but they haven't gotten absolutely punked like that on the glass with Nurk and Josh both healthy. It happened against the Raptors. Like, that's to be expected when they didn't have any size. But that gets the Hawks back in the game. You get the first half out of the way. 64-60 in a game the Blazers probably should have been up double digits pretty handily. Pretty handily. I have gone this far without mentioning DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray was a bleepity bleeping dude. Absolute dude. Obviously, we mentioned that Trae Young didn't play. I'd say the Hawks played better without Trae Young tonight. And I don't say that often about a guy. But number one, I love DeJounte. DJ's a dude. He's a multi-level scorer. He's a hell of a defender, and he's a freak athlete when he get downhill. And he starts hitting threes. He was 4 or 5 from three. It becomes problematic. John Collins chipped in 4 or 5 in the first half, 10 and 4 overall. Bogdanovich knocked down some shots. AJ Griffin knocked down a couple threes. He does the only thing he does. Thankfully, DeAndre Hunter was not hitting. Clint Capella was missing layups, but they were feasting on the glass. So you get to the third quarter, much the same. But again, Damian Lillard continues to burn the place down. Another 10-point quarter. Again, Dame had 20-plus in the first, I think 22 in the first half. Again, another 20-plus point half for Damian Lillard. I want to say it was like Legion Hoops tweeted it out. They pat all of Dame's games in the month of January, and like the worst game he had was the Philly game where I think we had 24 where he shot really poorly. Like, that's just... That's the game where he didn't play well. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of 40 pieces, 50 pieces, and a 60 piece. This was Dame's fourth 40-point performance of the month. Not of the season, not of his career, of the month. To give you an idea of the kind of role he was on. Truly, truly special stuff. Blazers came out in the third quarter, and they don't roll over. So they come out correct in the first quarter. They come out in the third quarter. They come correct. And then, you know, they didn't take care of business down the stretch in the fourth quarter to really put this thing away. As Chauncey said, committed some boneheaded fouls. You put Bogdanovich on the line for three. You go back and forth, but you get into the fourth quarter. Dame and Ant carry you home. Get 18 points between the two of them. Ant goes 2 of 2 from three. I thought Ant had a tremendous floor game, and he got an opportunity with about 4 minutes to go. They bring the late double. He reads it, elevates the throw of the pass over the double team, and I want to say it was Hunter got a deflection, and it ends up being his turnover. It's his one turnover for the night. Did everything right but the execution. I was like, I wanted it. Selfishly, I wanted it for him. I was like, he's playing good on a floor game. I hope, you know, he gets to the situation and he can figure it out. And he did. Diagnosed it, made the right read, just didn't execute the play. And that was kind of endemic of what was happening in the fourth quarter. Nasir Little came in and gave them a much needed punch, played about 4 minutes, knocked down a couple big, big threes, just enough for them down the stretch. And then Chauncey mixed and matched down the stretch. Nurk played a whole 4 seconds in the fourth quarter. I don't know if that's his leg or if that's his mentality. Unsure of where that's at. But Eubanks played 11:52 of the fourth quarter. It's a giant shrug for me, dog. Overall, good win for the Blazers. You know, without Trey, whatever. You know, DeJounte was more than enough game. The Hawks in general were game. They're a more talented team than their record indicates. And the Blazers are not going to balk at wins right now. So, again, tonight you get Dame 42, Grant 22. I thought he had a really poor start, and then he really poured it on when they needed it. Ant was 8 of 12, 5 of 8 from 3. Again, phenomenal game just all around. 21 and 7, one turnover. Nurk knocked down some threes. Just wasn't there on the glass. Wasn't much of a presence in the paint. Hawks finished with 50 points in the paint. Blazers 34. Second chance points was 21 to 3. If you ever wanted to figure out how the Hawks were in that game, that's it. The Hawks ended up taking 15 more shots at one point in time. I think it was 20. So that leveled out a little bit. The Blazers took 40 threes tonight, but they hit 19. On a normal night, they should have blown them out. This should have been a 15-18 point victory. But the Hawks taking such good care of the ball and getting it back on the offensive glass was what allowed them to stay in it. I see some people in the comments talking about Shaden tonight. Offensively, Shaden did some stuff tonight. He had the opportunity. Oh, God. Just a terrible lob pass. Was it Hart? Hart or GP? I can't remember. Shaden tried to windmill it, but it was out of necessity. That's the insanity. That's the insane level of athleticism that kid has. He had a chase down block where he looked like he was dropped from the sky as opposed to jumping. And they completed at least two lobs, maybe three, and then they blew another one that was on a bad pass. The flip side of that offensive aggressiveness is that he bungled some defensive assignments tonight pretty hard. Chauncey said as much even in the post game. I remember one distinctly where he absolutely got lost on a rotation to the corner. That led to a wide open three. Chauncey basically roundabout way said, you know, he's been much better over the last couple weeks, particularly on that side of the floor where he was said, you know, basically said I was kind of disappointed in how he was defensively. What he didn't say and what I feel like he was trying to say is the reason he played the minutes he played tonight, played almost 25 minutes, was that Shaden had, he kind of brought the juice. Like him, those dunks, like they not only bring motor to life, they bring the team to life. And I think Chauncey probably looks at that as a little bit of a juice kind of situation. But if it were a perfect world, I probably flip Shaden and Nas's minutes right now. Shaden with 25, Nas with 13. I think Nas gives them a level of consistency and professionalism that you can kind of account on night to night. Even though there's some variance with Shaden, the bad nights are bad, the good nights are good, the in-between nights are kind of like meh. But I do want to see Shaden get a little, or Nasir get a little bit more. Gary Payton, I mentioned this the other day, is still on a quasi-minutes restriction. I don't think he's going to play more than like 15, 18 at a time. I would like to see his minutes bumped up a little bit. For those freaking out about Dame's minutes tonight, playing 38 minutes, Chauncey sent Ant in to go get Dame, and Shaden went over to talk to Chauncey about something, and the idea of Dame coming out, Dame was like, well, if Shaden's over there, I'm going to go ahead and count 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I'm the fifth guy, so I'm just going to stay out here. And so Shaden ended up being the odd man out, and Dame stayed on the floor, and he played the entire fourth quarter. That's how it goes. It's good to be the king sometimes, right? The interesting thing is, I was waiting for the end of the night to do this, so we'll do this together. Let's go to the old standings list together, because there were some things that went Portland's way tonight. Oh, hey, look, Luka had 53. Wow. The Portland Trailblazers are 2 games out of fifth. All things considered, 2 games out of fifth. You have 4 teams with 26 losses. 4 teams with 25 losses. Yeah, that's a lot of teams bunched up together. Not too shabby. You go on, the Blazers are now 6-4 in their last 10 games. The Pelicans are 1-9. The Jazz are 6-4. The Timberwolves are 6-4. The Suns are 6-4. The Warriors are 6-4. The Clippers are 6-4. The Mavericks are 4-6. So the only team, the Blazers are 5-5. I had my thing off wrong there. The Blazers winning, instead of going 5-5, going 7-3, they quite literally are fifth. They're fifth. So for all of the stuff around everything, they're not in a great spot, but they're not in a bad spot. Like, there's no... there was no cliff that you're falling off of. There's no, like, insane worries there. My worry is that the only stretch of, like, good basketball that they have shown was to start the season. But it is there. They're just as average as everybody else. It just depends on how average are they going to be. Is the average going to fall their way for a couple games? Or are they, basically, 1-2 games go their way? They rise up the standings. 1-2 games don't go their way? It is what it is. As long as they're within 2 or 3 games of 500 and everybody else is there too, you just kind of throw your hands up and you're like, everybody's mid. Like, they just are, which is kind of what we expect. I picked this to win 42 games, guys. Trade. I mean, they were talking trades and stuff like that. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. I know this team isn't Sacramento bad. Or Sacramento bad. I'm sorry, Sacramento. You guys are very good this year. Houston bad. San Antonio bad. I just like naturally default to Sacramento. Sorry, Kings fans. You're very good and you're very fun this year. But with the deadline, 9 days away? Yeah, 9 days away. 9 days from the deadline. Like, I just... yeah. It all depends on how you look at it, how you slice it. Sure, it'd be great to be fourth or fifth right now. I'd rather be fourth, fifth, or sixth at the end of the season. So, trade stuff. Everybody keeps asking kind of in general questions in the chat. I'll kind of loosely address what I can, where I can. I saw somebody asking about Capella or Collins. I don't think either of those guys are Portland bound. I haven't heard them linked in anything. Last time I heard John Collins in Portland was last year before they got Jeremy, and it was a this or that. And even then, I think they were leaning much, much stronger towards Jeremy. So we'll kind of see how that part of things works out. Certainly things can change, but I have not heard anything in that regard. Somebody mentioned something about Hartenstein. From what I've heard, while Portland has looked around Hartenstein, I've been told that they are not the favorite to get him if he were to move. So kind of figuring out how that all works out. I was not thrilled to hear that, to say the least. Trying to think what other things have I heard recently as it pertains to Portland. I don't think there's anything else new other than what the stuff that I talked about, was it Sunday night? I've heard conflicting stuff about, I know some folks who genuinely believe that OG will be moved. I am of the mind that it will not be to Portland. It will be to one of Phoenix or Memphis if he's moved. That's just where I think things sit right now. for Portland, it's just a matter of, I know that a half dozen teams are interested in Josh, like genuinely. I know a handful of teams have talked to Portland about Nurk. Beyond that, you know, I think anybody can go. I don't buy the idea that Portland would move Shaden or Ant right now. I think if that move were to happen, that would be a summertime move for a very big deal. And I haven't heard anything over the last couple of days that would make me change my mind on that. But again, everything's fluid. Despite all of the rhetoric early in the season about the Jazz not tearing it down, everybody I've talked to believes that Jazz are going to be the biggest sellers on the market. Who could have seen that one coming? They were a fun story. They're cute. Also, they're only interested in keeping three people. So, you know, Vando, Beasley, I think those are guys. Talking to some folks the other day. Coin toss of Mike Conley being moved was the last thing that I had heard. Not necessarily a certain thing, but folks are asking about Ayton. I've been told that with new ownership, they are open to moving, obviously, Crowder. But I think the biggest move that they would be willing to make at this point in time would be Chris Paul. And I've gotten conflicting reports on whether or not they would actually move him now, as opposed to, you know, getting everybody healthy and maybe making one last push. Before making that happen. But as far as Ayton goes, it doesn't sound like he's going to be moved at the deadline. If he did, I've heard Portland's name come up around Ayton. That's all I've got. Other than that, I've been told as far as Phoenix is concerned, Mikhail, Book, Cam, Ayton were kind of like, that's what they want to keep. So take that for what it's worth right now. We're, like I said, we're a little bit more than a week away. It should be fun. I will have a kind of a trade preview video, live show, whatever. Probably within like 3 or 4 days of the deadline. As close as I can get to with targets that I think that they've talked about or have looked at. To kind of wrap a bow on it, and then we can all watch it together, or they'll make a move, and then we'll talk about it. I haven't gotten any sense for any kind of timing on anything. I don't think anything's imminent in the league right now, at least from the folks that I talk to. So, but I would expect that things are super, super busy at the deadline. I don't think you're going to see big-name stars move, but I do expect it does sound like that this deadline is going to be about as active as the last deadline, with a lot of other parts moving around, just because... And I was talking to somebody else about this tonight, the idea of the play-in game. It really, everybody's a buyer. And you look at how, again, you look at how tight everything is. Excuse me. Everyone, 1 through 13, can talk themselves into it. Everyone can talk themselves into it. Truly incredible stuff. Truly, 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 truly incredible stuff. Somebody's asking if I'm going to have a deadline live show. Yes, we will. We will do... obviously, live show. I'll be on air noon to 3 on the radio show, and then I'll do a post wrap here. I think it's a league wide off night to kind of make sure that happens again. Let me double check it. I think that was the case. Yeah, so the 9th's a league wide off day. They've done a good job with that. So, yeah, we got a lot coming here in the next couple days, next week or so. And if something happens out of the blue, I'll hop on and do whatever I can, whether I'm on air on the radio or here. You know what? Even if something happens while I'm on the radio, we'll break it on the radio, tune in for immediate reaction, and then barring a game that night, I'll come home and we'll hop on a live show, Brandon and I, or when likely whatever team somebody comes from, I'll get somebody from that team, and we can kind of dive into it from there. But a good Blazers win tonight. There's certainly some flaws. I didn't want to go into a ton of them tonight just because they've had enough crap. And I don't feel like piling on tonight. It's just kind of figuring things out And I'm just going to kind of lean on what Dame said tonight. It's a lot easier to look at things and make adjustments through wins than it is through losses. So, yeah, they weren't great defensively tonight. They didn't secure possessions. They didn't manage the glass as well as they needed to. They were too eager on fouls. But they won. In spite of all that, they won because they took care of the ball and they shot the living hell out of it. And I thought the ball moved tonight better than it has in weeks. And credit to Dame and Ant for that. They kept things tick, 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 tick. It was on time and on schedule all night long. So, good to see. I'm going to wrap it up now just because it's super late. It's now, 12:10? Thank you all so, so much. I appreciate you. I love you. I mean, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, you guys are fantastic. There's 150 of you tonight at midnight following up Monday night game to the Atlanta Hawks. Listen, sometimes I want to tear my hair out, but it's always worth it. You guys are awesome. Thank you all so much for riding with me, riding with us. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful night. We will have a watch party for the game. What is it, Wednesday in Memphis? We'll have a watch party for the Memphis game for all the road games. And like I said, they will all be open between now and the All-Star break. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, or if you want to come back and check them out because they've been at home so much, you'll have that opportunity. Other than that, you can find me on social media at Danny Meringue, at Jack Ramsey's, at Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan from noon to 3. Other than that, have a wonderful, wonderful night. Take care. Talk soon. And Brandon and I will probably be back tomorrow.